All right, you ready?
Yeah.
I'm Austin Lugo.
I'm Andrew Harp.
This is With Nothing to Say.
Let's talk about An American in Paris.
Before we get into this week's film, next week we're going to be watching A Matter of Life and Death. I wanted to pick something in the interdimensional romance selection from the Criterion Channel since Valentine's Day is coming up. But you picked this film in particular. Have you seen this film before, Andrew?
No, I've never seen it before.
Neither have I. Do you know anything about this movie?
Yeah, it's a Palom Pressburger movie who I
Awesome.
like. And we've covered them on the show before, of course.
Right. Yes. So.
Yeah, so I know a little bit about that. I know I won't go into it, but I do know a little bit about like some of the plot and stuff that happens in it. But I don't know, I've been thinking about the movie lately, so.
That sounds great to me. But today I got to pick the movie. This is a movie that I have seen before. As I started watching it, I realized that I have indeed seen this movie, I'm thinking multiple times before, but for some
Oh,
reason
okay, multiple times.
it's never been logged on IMDb or Letterboxd. I don't know if it was just when I
When was
watched
the last
it
time you think you
before.
saw it?
I remember seeing it when I lived in Indiana because I watched it with Sophia, but she might have only been 2 or 3, so maybe it's been like 4 or 5 years since I've seen this movie. And I saw it when I lived in Denver too. So I know I've seen it a couple of times, but maybe they were all before I had Letterboxd, but I still would have logged it on IMDb. So I don't know how this sort of disappeared into the ether, but I have seen it and I was very excited to watch this movie again. Of course, Gene Kelly is one of my favorite, I guess filmmakers is the best word because just calling him an actor doesn't really encompass sort of the things that.
I don't think he does a lot of filmmaking, but he does do the choreography for the movie for
Well, he
this
does a lot of
one.
choreography, and I know he plays a very large hand in the direction of a lot of films. I mean, a little different with Vincent Minnelli than with Stanley Donen or some of the other directors, but he's very hands-on, almost to the point that he can be supposedly very hard to work with, or was hard to work with. I guess he can't be hard to work with now since he is very dead. But this movie opens up classic
I'm an
musical.
American and I live in Paris.
I love it. I know
Yeah.
it's sort
It's
of a
like, okay,
little
yeah,
cheesy,
it's what do you
but I love it. We get Jay Kelly, his extremely recognizable voice, and they have the little jokes about as he's dollying from, or not dollying, I guess it's a crane that they're moving the
Yeah,
camera from
it's like
one
moving
place
like
to
I don't
another.
live in that apartment and it's like two people like making out or something.
I
It's very
love.
funny. The beginning's really funny. The tone and comedy doesn't really carry on from this opening section to the rest of the movie. The rest of the movie is still really funny, but I feel like the beginning or so of the movie is like very like almost slapsticky, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just like different like levels of like energy going on. I love when like Gene Kelly wakes up and he's like doing the choreo. It's obviously like a choreographed number of him getting ready in the morning. It's a lot of fun to watch.
So, of course, there's a lot of references in this film to Charlie Chaplin's work. I mean, he even does
Right.
the Charlie Chaplin, right, when he's doing
Right.
dance number with the kids. I think it's the name of that song. But you can't help but be reminded of, I'm trying to think, maybe it's a Buster Keaton film. It might be a Buster Keaton film that I'm thinking of, where he's in a very small apartment and he's got all those things sort of moving around. And I love that scene. I love that moment where he's putting his
No,
bed
it's a good
up
it
and he's
yeah, that's
pulling
all that stuff is good.
it on. And I guess I never really thought about it, but that sort of slapstick, silent comedy era kind of stuff disappears sort of the second half of the film. But it is very prominent in the beginning, and I wonder why that they sort of moved away from that. I mean, I'm not complaining. I enjoyed the film immensely. It's
I'm just pointing it out.
no, yeah, it's just a very interesting choice to make to sort of make these sort of homages, especially Vincent Minnelli, who is someone who was a historian of filmmaking and of course an auteur in their own right. But that moment when he's in his room and he's moving up his bed and he's pulling out the table and he's just trying to finick all these things around. I mean, there's no real dialogue going on, and yet it's sort of this brilliant moment of stage direction. And it also sort of shows off Vincent Minnelli's filmmaking style. He's someone who loves the slow dolly in and the dolly to the side. And I think something that frustrates me often when I watch a modern musical, so something from the last 20 years or so, which I guess musicals aren't as big of a genre as they used to be, which breaks my heart a little bit.
Well,
It's
that Mean Girls musical's out.
Shut up, Andrew. Shut up.
See, they're still alive and
I guess
kicking.
Wonka
And
was a musical too, wasn't it?
Wonka was a musical. I feel like now, I feel like musicals, like whenever they come out, I think people groan about them. They're like, ugh, it's a musical. Maybe that just has something to do with like the music.
I think we've just lost the magic of a musical and what the musical's really supposed to be about. I guess I haven't seen Wonka or Mean Girls, so maybe these
Who
are
cares?
fantastic films, but
I'm not planning on seeing them anytime soon.
neither am I. And I guess the last good musical I saw was the Steven Spielberg West Side Story, which is a great musical, but
It's
still.
like, but it's still a remake of
Right,
like
it's
a
still a
very famous
remake.
musical. Yeah.
I mean, we just don't have the. We're no longer in the musical era of the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, which maybe it'll never come again, but I'm sure it
You
will.
know,
Everything.
the you know, the La La Land was a big movie. That was a
La La Land was
musical.
big.
But I don't know. Like, are any of these movies like among my favorites? Not really. Like,
And I think what Vincent Minnelli was so great at, because he made a lot of musicals. I mean, he didn't just make musicals, but musicals were certainly a big part of his career, is the way he filmed choreographed scenes, particularly
yeah, he
dancing,
killed it.
tap dancing. He absolutely crushes it, because people think for some reason that the way we should film these things is the way we film action scenes, which is genuinely baffling, because
Do you mean
it's
like a lot of editing and a lot of like
a lot of
swooping
editing,
camera
right? A lot of
movements?
swooping camera movements and
Yeah.
10 different shots, and you cut back from one to the other.
Yeah, when you watch like American Paris or like Singin' in the Rain, like it's all pretty. I wouldn't say it's somewhat static, but still expressive at the same time somehow.
What Vincent Minnelli is so great at, and some of the great musicals, even if you go back to Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, why these films work so well is they put trust in the actor to do what
Yeah,
they have
to
to
do their
do.
thing.
I mean, they
So you
allow
get to
them
see
to give
like
the
all
interview.
their movements. You get to see like
Exactly.
all of their, yeah.
Like, you see their whole body.
Agreed.
It's not just, oh, a
Right.
close up of their feet and then a close up of their face and a close up of their hands and this, that, and
Yeah.
the other. And the camera's moving, 20 feet this way and it's going that way. And it's
Yeah.
wild and crazy. And instead, we're trusting some of the great artists like Gene Kelly, who's an incredible dancer and
Yeah,
incredible
he's the one of the he's such a
actor.
good dancer, dude. Like this move between this movie and Singin' in the Rain, like
Are
when
these the
he
only Gene Kelly movies
dances,
you've seen?
I guess so. I think so. I mean, those are the two top ones, I think, right? Like
Yeah.
Singin' in the Rain. And you know, I like Gene Kelly a lot and I love his dancing. I love how like light he appears when he dances. Like it just seems like he's like 5 pounds, you know, when he's dancing. He does it so like fluidly and like effortlessly. He just seems so light.
Yeah, I think back as we were watching this to a movie we watched, gosh, maybe it was 2 years ago now, the Fred Astaire Ginger Rogers film. And I can't remember if we talked about this then, but I feel like we had this conversation a bit back then, and I kind of wanted to bring it back now, is this comparison between Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly, which then we were watching the Fred Astaire, and now we're watching Gene Kelly, and there's a lot of literature and a lot of film studies. I don't know what you would call it. There's a whole world of people who study Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly, and sort of the juxtaposition of the two, and this idea of masculine and feminine, and how Fred Astaire was sort of the original dancer. He very much represented the 1920s and 30s, someone who was skinny and light and almost like water in the way that he moved. And then you have Gene Kelly on the other hand, who, even though just as great of a dancer, there's something much more masculine and dominant about the way that he moved.
I guess he's a little bit more rugged, more of a rugged type actor. I guess when you think about like their performance, acting performances, they're a little bit different.
Still amazing to see either of them dance and to give Gene Kelly the opportunity to just do all the amazing things he does. And I keep thinking back to one of my favorite scenes in this movie, although of course eventually we'll get to that giant choreographed number at the end, which is like
Oh,
two
yeah, the ballet.
the ballet, right? But one of my
Yeah.
other favorite moments is the I Got moment with the children, because it is just this
Yeah, that's
beautiful,
fun.
fluid dance that allows Gene Kelly to do what he needs to do, but it's not static either. And I think that's what people forget when they think of these old musicals, is they think we just put a camera on sticks and then we just let them dance. But that's not what's
Any
happening.
movement, any like direction or movement is necessary. everything is just very, very, very well laid out. It's not like a modern movie today where it's like, well, we're filming in digital, so we can kind of film whatever we want, however long, and do whatever. If a person's like a bad dancer or something
just
like
fix
that,
it
you
in
know, maybe,
post.
yeah, we can fix it later. But I think, like, you know, with film being expensive as it was even at the time, it's like, well, we got to make sure that this is perfect. Like, we can't really, like, I'm not trying to, like, criticize, like, any, like, modern directors or choreographers or dancers.
Sure.
You know, everybody is probably, all those people are 100,000 times more talented than I am in every way. I'm just saying, like, there is, like, something in a watching in a movie like An American Paris or, like, Singing in the Rain. There's just, like, a different effect. And also the fact that, like I said, with, like, film and digital, you know, I think Technicolor helps with it a lot, obviously. Like, I think, like, the Technicolor MGM look of this and other movies, like, aids in the atmosphere that these movies are trying to create.
Absolutely. And of course, Vincent Minnelli, who is someone famous for the types of colors they use and his beautiful costume designs, which is supported by an amazing team. And I can't stop thinking about that moment. I know I keep going back to that I got moment, but what's so amazing is if you sit down and just watch that scene, you take that scene out of the rest of the film, ignore everything else that's going on in this film, and just watch the way the camera moves with Gene Kelly, the way that the slightest movement will have the slightest pan. And it's just like this tiny movement that is so easy to miss, so easy to just look over. And it is such precision, particularly for a film that's 70-ish years old at this point.
I think it's too just, yeah, like it's like the performers are, like, almost in control in a way.
Yeah. It's so incredible to watch because here is just a masterclass in filming dance and movement and sort of how it's neither about the actor or the camera, but this weird combination of the two that's sort of how the holes are bigger than the parts, as it were. And it just makes for these moments that, as if you're living with them and moving with them and dancing with them. And of course, I got one of my favorite songs in the piece, but there's a lot more to the movie than just this one scene. I know I'm actually talking about this one scene.
You know, here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. The music itself, I'm okay with. I'm actually, like, I can't really, like, think of any, like, particular, like, music that, like, stands out to me for some reason. Like, that one's okay. I'm like, looking at the list of songs right now. It's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. I just don't have anything, like, particular to say about, like, the songs themselves. Obviously, like, the dancing,
of course,
everything else is amazing, but I don't really know what to say about, like, obviously the music's beautiful, but I mean, like, the songs is what I'm talking about specifically. Song, yeah. But whatever, I mean, it's, like, not really near nor there. That's
I
just
can't
me.
Figure out if it's just because I've heard some of these songs so many times, or if I've legitimately heard some of these songs in other movies, like Smarvelous. I swear that's in a Fred Astaire movie. I'm not positive, but I am almost positive that it's in a Fred Astaire Gentle. There's something very recognizable about it. And I can't be sure. I'm not, like, 100%, but
I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
The scene where Gene Kelly and the opera singer, it's towards the end of the movie, they both think that they're in love and everything's going great. And they stand up.
The opera singer.
The singer guy, not the opera singer, but he's a singer.
Oh, gotcha.
And they both think that they're in love, and they sing and dance inside the little cafe that they're in. It's towards the middle-ish in the movie. It's probably like an hour or so. You don't remember this moment?
I don't know why I don't remember this very much. It's Leslie Caron, right? It's Leslie Caron with she's, like, very lovely, by the way. She's great in the movie. I love her. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know. I just, like, the songs for some reason don't really, like, hit me super well as much as the the set pieces themselves and the choreography themselves. I love when they're talking about Leslie Caron's character, like, at the very beginning at the cafe, and you get that sequence. Like, she's like this, but she's also like this. Like, she's everything, right? Like, she's beautiful, but smart, but she's not too smart, you know? I like to, like, well, I wouldn't say I like, but obviously the movie definitely has like a twinge of, like, misogyny a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the
100%.
Movie. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. It is a movie that came out in 1951.
It's a very masculine weirdly, in a way, movie.
No, I wouldn't say it's a masculine movie. Well, it's like, that's the thing about the movie is that that's so weird. It's a very, it's
I guess
a very,
masculine isn't the right word.
Don't they don't in the movie, the last movie that we watched a couple of years ago, the musical Fred Astaire movie, don't they use the word gaiety, right? Like they say the word gaiety. This movie has a gaiety to it, yet there's also misogyny. So it's kind of like this weird kind of like juxtaposition between all these different things. Like it's a very colorful movie of these like men like dancing and singing little songs and stuff, and yet they're like a little bit misogynistic, which it, like makes the movie interesting. I'm not saying this is bad or good, it just makes it a very interesting movie intentionally, of course. But I love that, like, too, like using like the different like all those like little scenes of her like doing this and doing that, and like the like they change the different colors or whatever, like that stuff is really great. I love that stuff. Like each of those like set pieces, whether it be that or the party at the end or the ballet at the end. Like all that stuff is like to me like the stuff that I remember the most for some reason.
Yeah, that moment where they sort of zoom in on or dolly in, I guess, on the picture, and she goes through all those different things. That's the moment
so
I realized
cool.
that I've seen the movie multiple times before. Like that moment is extremely memorable. And
it happens like right away in the beginning too.
It's a beautiful moment. Because up to that point, I'm like, maybe I've seen this movie before, maybe I haven't. But at that moment,
yeah, it's like
I knew for a fact that I've seen this movie many times before, because that is just such a creative and
how could you
memorable
forget
scene.
That? Yeah.
And it is so reflective of the way Vincent Minnelli makes films. And although I enjoy all the stuff that are in small groups when it's one, two, three people, I think where Vincent Minnelli, and you see this in a lot of his work, really thrives is those giant scenes with just tons of people in it.
Yeah, it's so cool.
They're
Are you
just...
talking, and that really is what happens at the very end, like pretty much. I think the movie is like a good kind of like romantic musical comedy for the most part. I guess like to kind of discuss the plot a little bit, it's like Gene Kelly is a painter. He's like not a very good painter. Like you see his paintings and you're just like, I wouldn't say it's great. Anyway, doesn't matter. He's like a painter. He lives in Paris. He knows a couple. He knows this other American guy who's a composer. He knows this other guy, this French guy who's like a singer. The singer guy, I guess you could say, what's the word? What's the word I'm trying to think? He
I have no
groomed
idea.
the Leslie Caron character.
Oh, yes.
Right?
That
Yeah,
whole
he
plot
groomed
line
her.
is very creepy.
Whatever.
And
It's
strange.
I guess it's Paris, France. So whatever. Anyway,
Sure. Different
so
times, I
he
guess.
groomed her, and now they're getting married because he helped protect her during the war or something like that.
Because
And
now
so
she's
she feels
19.
right now she's 19, and now she's like indebted to him and to get married.
In this weird
But
way.
he's actually cool. Like
It's
he's
not
not
nearly
like
as creepy as you would think it would
he's not
be.
creepy or evil. It's just like when you think about like the what they're talking about, you're just like, oh, that's a
You
little
take a
weird.
moment.
But
Yeah.
anyway, so like, but Gene Kelly, he meets Milo, who is essentially, that's a very funny character. She's basically like a very, very rich dilettante, hanging out in Paris, France. And as they kind of like say throughout the movie, she likes young artist types that she wants to have relationships with. But Gene Kelly does not want to have a relationship with her, but she gives him all these things to buy his love for her. So he gives her like him like a studio, and he's like, I got you an exhibition or whatever. Yeah.
I love how they
But yeah.
pretty much abandoned that exhibition plot line. I mean,
right. I thought that too, because they're like at the party, right? And then the whole thing happens, and I think, don't they mention like, oh, your exhibition's the next day, right? And we'll just end it right there. I'm okay with that. I don't really.
I'm fine. I don't care.
Yeah. Like, but yeah, that is really funny how they're like, oh, the exhibition's coming up. Oh, what's going to happen? Yeah. And but he meets, I don't remember the character herself.
I have no idea what the character is.
It's a Leslie Caron character. Oh, Lisa Bouvier. Or
Oh, yes. Lisa.
Lisa, right. And yeah, he meets Lisa at like a bar where Gene
Cool
Kelly goes with
American
Milo.
jazz bar
Yeah, it's like a,
in
this, yeah,
Paris.
it's like all, it's a little smoky, but it looks like a set. Like it looks like an MGM musical set. And like he falls in love with her, and he stalks her. And that's pretty much the rest of the movie.
I love that description of this movie. And it's incredibly accurate. I mean, it just shows that if you are just persistent and annoying enough, you
If you're
do.
if you he like her she changes her mind really quickly, right? Like they go
Almost immediately.
He annoys her horribly at the bar, and
He
then he gets her
harasses
phone
her.
number, and he harasses her while she's working, and then he goes there to harass her more at work, and then he's like, go out with me, and she's like, okay. I'm
To
like,
be
oh,
fair,
okay.
Gene Kelly is an incredibly good looking man.
But I don't think that has
But
anything to
still.
do with it. No, you know, like, you know,
But she's
just like
also
he's like
very good
annoying.
herself, so.
Yeah. But she's like, okay.
I love that moment when they're at the bar and of
Yeah.
course he pretends to have a wife and all this stuff and he says
He
her
tricks.
number.
Yeah.
He
He's
like
like,
tricks.
what was your number again?
And the guy and she gives him his number and the guy sitting next to him
Her
is like,
friend, yeah.
no, isn't that this?
Isn't your number ball? Yeah.
It's a really just small witty moment that is so and silly and just the reason that you love these kind of films. But you're right, he harasses her and calls her and calls her and goes to her place of work. Of course, being in Paris, she works at a perfume shop. Where else would she work? It
That's
is
cool. I would
Paris.
love to go in there.
God, I love these sets. I know
they're all fake Paris. I don't think they're in Paris at all, but you know, that's
what?
fine. They
Well,
look
I
good.
mean, it does say at the end of the movie, filmed in Los Angeles. No, it says filmed in Hollywood, USA.
Hollywood, USA.
I love it. I
It
don't
is.
care. I love the
No,
MGM
I don't get. No,
set.
No. That's like the point. Like,
Yeah.
I'm not like making a criticism. I love the sets because it's like made by like people, and they're good enough.
I think they're absolutely wonderful. And this is something Vincent Minnelli does in a lot of his work, is there's almost this purposeful facade as if he
Yeah,
knows
yeah,
that he
yeah.
can't make it look like Paris. He knows that he can't make it look like all these different places that he goes to in his films. And so instead he leans in the sort of almost surrealist, maybe impressionistic is the word I would use to
I would
describe
say so too.
the
I would
way
say it's
he
impressionistic,
designs
yeah.
his sets and all of his stuff is instead of trying to hide the fake or the unreal, he leans into it and makes everything sort of
Yeah.
big and absurd. And it just makes the whole film,
Everything very well lit. Yeah.
everything well lit, right?
It's good.
There's almost this absurdity to his films. It's as if his films, I mean, we talked about last week when we talked about The Devils, how it's almost this sci-fi fantasy world that isn't part of our real world. And I think that
Yeah,
was
we're an MGM
really
musical world
yeah,
in
it's not
America
a
and
real
Paris.
world. And that's
Yeah.
great. You kind of get to live in this
Yeah.
other world that doesn't actually exist. And I think that's part of the reason why I love the MGM era musicals is because so many of these films, they're not part of reality. And maybe that's part of the reason why so many musicals as of late don't seem to succeed, is they try to push it into like the real world and it just doesn't fit right. I mean, even La La Land, which I think is a well-made film,
Fine. Yeah, it's
still
whatever.
actually Los Angeles and they're just going around dancing and singing. And I think you miss
In real life, Los Angeles. Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, you miss that magic of being on these sets and leaning into sort of the absurdity. And
Yeah, they're great.
I guess there's a fear now of that kind of stuff. We don't
Well, it's
want
way too expensive.
To build sets?
Yeah.
It's got to be cheaper to build sets, though, than to actually go.
No way.
You
If
don't
you're
think
in
so?
Los Angeles, no way. Well, it's also more work. It's probably
It's more work.
More expensive and it's more work.
It probably takes longer is what it is,
If
right?
you're, if
It's
you
probably
and
not even the
everybody...
money.
If
It's
you
probably
and
just too
everybody
expensive.
are, yeah, it's just like, yeah, I think it's a money and a work thing.
Maybe.
What, like, no, I think it would be more expensive. I agree with you. I like how, because of the time period, because of the what the movie is filmed on and the, you know, the use of Technicolor or whatever, it produces this effect. You really feel like you're in another world. You know, you feel like you're in another place entirely. You know, you're not in 2024. You're now in these like kind of like late 40s, early 50s, like MGM musicals. And, you know, they were only able to make them for like the short period of time, right? Because there were these specific filmmakers and studios and,
Very
you
expensive
know,
to make,
film
even then.
techniques. Yeah. And like all this stuff. So when you watch it, you're just like, yep, this is like a very particular and very influential, of course, as well on pretty much everything else afterwards, probably.
And we sort of briefly touched on this earlier, but to go back to some of the absolutely beautiful costumes that they have and the use of
Right,
greens
yeah.
and blues and reds and really leaning into the Technicolor and all of its amazing different looks that it can
Yeah,
give.
really taking advantage of it.
Oh God, some of those dresses that she wears are so
Yeah, it's
cool.
great.
And Gene Kelly's outfits, I mean that
Yeah.
black sweater with the white collar on it, that
Oh yeah. Is
is
that what he
iconic.
wears? That's what he's wearing in the ballet scene, right?
Yes.
Right, yeah, that is, I would agree with you. That is a very iconic outfit
I love
that
that
he wears
outfit.
in the ballet
It's so
scene.
simple and yet it works perfect. It just looks so good. All of their outfits, the outfit everyone wears. I mean, everyone just has
Everybody looks good, yeah.
The greatest outfit there out the entire space. No one ever has an outfit that it doesn't look absolutely amazing. And you could just spend hours just not even hearing anything. And I actually did this yesterday because it was finals week. So there were no kids yesterday because it was the last day of the semester. So it was a day to grade our finals and stuff. And I just threw America in Paris and I just had some music on in the background. So I wasn't actually listening to it. And there was no sound or anything. And I would just look over every now and then and just to watch it is so mesmerizing. And there's almost this, one of my favorite films of all time, of course, is Playtime by Jacques Tati. And it has this hypnotizing quality to it that Jacques Tati's work does too, where you don't even need the amazing score or the songs or any of the performances. I mean, you can just put it on silent and put it on the background.
Yeah, I agree.
Watch it for 2 hours because it's so visually magnificent.
No, I totally agree with you. It's definitely a feat, an accomplished feat to be able to, and, you know, it's also just kind of like this confluence of all these like different things and opportunities running together. There's obviously a lot of talent, but there's also just, again, like kind of like a sort of luck kind of thing, the way that all these things kind of meet together. You got to like watch them. It's enough to watch it on a TV screen.
But again, and, just like last week.
Seeing a movie theater would be pretty cool. And I believe this movie was very successful when it came out. Makes sense to me. It's just a very...
it's a very likable movie.
It's a very likable movie.
It's baffling. I watched it with Shelley and she was bored through the whole thing. And I get being bored through maybe that last big ballet scene. I get that.
No, that's like one of the best parts of the movie in my opinion.
Oh, I think it's one of the best parts too, but I understand why that might not appeal to the general
ballet
public of today.
People don't give a fuck about ballet.
But what baffled me is she didn't really get into the rest of the film either, which I think is so well-paced and funny. And
yeah, modern.
I think it's a very likable film. I think even if you come out of the film maybe a little bit bored at times, I can't see someone disliking this film. And a lot of the films we've watched can be, even though we've loved them, I could see them being very much disliked. But this one, it's so likable.
Yeah, you know, for me, I love the movie and I love, like, I do like Singing in the Rain, like, and all this stuff. And, you know, his MGM musicals are great. You know, for me, I think, like, An American in Paris, like, talking about it specifically, I think it's a little too sugary sweet for me. You know, like, I think it's a little bit too, it's like I'm getting a cavity, you know, it's like almost a little bit too nice, like a little bit too carefree or a little bit too, not carefree makes it seems like it's like a lazy movie or a lackadaisical movie. It's really not. And like sad things happen, right? But that's why I like, to harken back to another movie, that's why I like the movie All That Jazz is like one of the greatest movies ever made. It kind of has like that musical grandiosity to it, but it's also a very dark movie about like drug addiction and death and your legacy and all this stuff. And An American in Paris, you know, its sentimentality maybe just kind of like for me is just not necessarily my preference when it comes to like what movies like that I would consider some of my all-time favorites. But again, this is like a preference thing, you know, it's not really anything to do with like the quality of the movie. Again, it's just kind of like a personal preference sort of thing.
And I completely understand where you're coming from. I think if you were to watch multiple Vincent Minnelli movies in a row,
it's like,
it can be a little jarring on the mind. And I get this sort of overly sweet sentimentality, but that's also the stuff that I love the most in movies. I mean, those are the movies that I'm drawn to, which again is my preference, which I think is why we work well.
Yeah, like for me, it's just like, yeah, movies, I love like miserable movies. Like I
know,
like,
you do.
I like movies that are violent and you know, reflect, you know, a reality and reflect the objectivity of the world that we live in. But I wouldn't say that American in Paris necessarily does that. Not, but it doesn't need to do that.
Right.
It creates a world all of its own.
Yeah, and I think also American Paris sort of reflects our own sort of cinematic views of the world and the way we enjoy cinema. And
I guess so, yeah. And, like, maybe like Paris, like, yeah.
Yeah, and of course I have a deep affection for Paris movies. I mean, actual French movies, not movies that, you know, take place in Paris. Like actual French cinema. And I guess I'm so uninterested in reality when I go see a movie. I mean, the thing I look for when I go see a movie, and part of the reason I love this sort of 1940s, 50s mentality of cinema is because it is otherworldly, and you can forget about all of your troubles and worries and all the terrible things that happen in the world, and you can just smile and laugh and be happy. And that's not to say I want that in every experience. I mean, I'm not going to see something like The Card Counter and looking for some, bright, uplifting
Where's
story.
the singing?
Exactly. So it's not that I need that every experience. And I think I don't find enough of those movies now. It's harder to find these kind of just feel good, just happy, fun movies. I mean, not
Well,
every
they got Marvel movies. Those are happy feel good movies.
fuck that.
They
Shut
save the world every movie.
up. I mean, I guess I gotta go see Madame Web, which is in association with Marvel, a movie we're all very excited about, of course, here on the
It's true. I'm very excited
podcast.
about it.
And the lighting of this piece, which, as you point out, is
Yeah,
all very well lit, but
it's crazy.
one of the coolest moments in far as lighting goes. And I love gaffing. I mean, I think when I'm on a set, it's one of my favorite things to do other than actually direction, because the other stuff I'm not any good at. I've been a cinematographer for a couple of films and I'm terrible at it. And I've done sound, I've done all these different things. But the thing I'm best at, and the thing they love most other than directing itself, is gaffing, because lighting is such the small nuance that I think can very easily go unnoticed, but when it's done well, it can really change a piece. And I think of that moment where we have our singer up on stage and he has that stairway that lights up. Such a beautiful set design and really cool piece. I mean, that light that lights all those stairs that come up one at a time as he's stepping up the stairs just looks magnificent. And of course, also is a great number with all the girls and their scantily clad outfits and all of that stuff. But
Wait, are you talking about the very end?
it's not the very end. It's
Oh, sorry.
when he is about to propose to her. I think he proposed to her right after this. It's when she misses his show because she's with Gene Kelly.
Oh yeah, that's a good yeah, I agree. Yeah, okay, I got it now.
And he
Yeah,
doesn't even
with the
care. He doesn't
stare.
even notice.
He doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't give a
No, he
fuck.
doesn't care because he's like vibrating and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, because he crushes it,
He
apparently.
crushes it. Yeah, I guess
I
he
mean, it's
does
a
a
great
really good
scene.
job. Those kinds of things, they happen so quickly. It's like, okay.
Yeah. The
Like
plot is so secondary in this film. I
I
mean, it's
guess, yeah.
pointless. Not that maybe pointless isn't the right word, but it's so put off to the side to the things that Vincent Minnelli actually cares about, which are things like the dance scenes and the singing. And even though we have a quite complicated plot here that you could really delve into, this sort of love triangle and the complications with this other woman too, it's almost like a love, I don't even know, square.
Square. Well, I don't know. The Milo character is kind of like off to the side. She's not really involved. Like, I guess she's kind of involved, I guess, but I don't know. It's more like the love triangle because both the French singer and Gene Kelly love Lisa. And
But Milo loves Gene
yeah,
Kelly, and he feels
he
the
doesn't
need
like her at
to.
all.
No. I mean, there's almost something platonic about the relationship. He weirdly respects her as sort of his.
He doesn't hate her.
No, not by any
But
means.
he likes all the stuff that he's getting from her. Yeah.
So perhaps there's something, certainly there's something
I
problematic.
love the scene like later on when they're when the French singer and Gene Kelly are like talking and he's like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about this girl, and he's like, you
Oh.
should tell her you love her. And they're both talking
One of
of
my
like,
receipts at the,
yeah.
what's that
There's
guy's name?
something.
The pianist, the
Yeah,
orchestra,
like they're
whatever.
piano player guy, but he knows what's going on. Like he's the one character like in the shot that we know is going on. So he's kind of reacting to what they're saying and he's acting
Ordering
kind
the
of funny and
brandy
silly, right? He's ordering brandy and
and
stuff like that.
again, an
And
homage to that slapstick kind of stuff. Because I think Chaplin did the same thing in one of his pieces. Because I remember him like putting like six cigarettes in his mouth. I can't remember which film that is, but it might have been one of his shorts. But
There's
something.
like one scene. Is there a Charlie Chaplin or Buster Keaton thing where like he puts a cigarette in his mouth and it's like bent? It's like kind of fucked up. I feel like that's
Yeah,
probably
I
a
think that's
Charlie
a Buster
Chaplin, Buster
Keaton.
Keaton thing
Yeah.
where it's like he puts a cigarette in his mouth and he's gonna go light it, but like it's like bent. That's probably a gag that's probably been done like probably so many times in so many movies. It's so easy
Yeah.
to do. Yeah, like that stuff is really good. And I just love how like big and bombastic the song proceeds to be. He's like, you gotta go do it, like the French guy, but he's like talking about his girlfriend. But he doesn't have any idea. But that stuff is really, really great. That scene is just really kind of like, I can't believe it. Like, I'm watching this. It's so crazy.
I love those kind of moments and just this sort of lighthearted silliness and leaning into that slapstick kind of stuff again. And
This movie where there's not really any villains either.
no, there's not a single bad person in this. Everyone, I mean, it's funny, we talked about the Devils last week where everyone seems to be awful. And in this movie, there's not really
Yeah,
anyone that's
they
awful.
do bad things. Well, I guess at the end of the day, no one seems to be all that bent up about the whole thing.
That
Everybody
moment
seems pretty
does
happy.
confuse me a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. After the big ballet
All
scene.
right, yeah. So there's a big ballet scene, which, you know, it's kind of hard for us to describe. I know that like it's based on music from, so the movie's like based on like a George Gershwin tone poem called An American in Paris.
Okay.
And like the music from that tone poem is used like in the ballet at the very end, which is like a 17-minute long non-dialogue. Because so like at the end they have like this like New Year's Eve party, and then Gene Kelly and Leslie
Great
Caron,
set
they,
piece again.
yeah, it's cool. They talk for a minute and they're just like, I gotta go. And he's like, don't go. And she's like, bye. And then she leaves. And then he has like a daydream where it's a 17-minute long ballet that's based on this George Gershwin piece. And yeah, I mean, like, you gotta see it to believe it, you know. It's just 17 minutes long, no dialogue. The rest of the movie doesn't have dialogue at all. Costume changes, set changes, lighting changes. You
Incredible
have that like
dancing.
incredible dancing. You know, Gene Kelly, he's like doing little hops. Like I said, he looks so light. He's like as light as a feather. This expressionistic thing. You can't really like compare it to anything else. It's wonderful.
It's truly just Vincent Minnelli given the opportunity to just do whatever the fuck he wants. And he does. He's given the opportunity to just basically make a 17-minute ballet
Yeah.
inside of this film. And it still fits too. You would think that this moment would sort of be outside of it or wouldn't fit in the realm of this movie, but perhaps just because of the fantasy-like world that he's built up to this point, it just works really well. And it's a great way of expressing all these
Yeah.
emotions and things going on without silly dialogue or some stupid voiceover or anything like that. I mean, it's just you understand all of these conflicting feelings that he's having and just beautiful dance numbers. And I think of that moment where they dress the four men dress in those barbershop like clothes. I don't know how else to describe it, with the suits with
Yeah,
the
they got the,
stripes
yeah, I know what you
and
mean.
the
They got the
cane and the
canes and the
hat.
hats. Yeah, that's great.
That moment's
That's
almost terrifying.
crazy.
That smile on his face is a little
Yeah.
terrifying.
There's kind of like a creepiness to it because they're just kind of like
Really
dancing
is.
around, and again, there's no talking, there's no dialogue, so it's just kind of like, yeah, everybody kind of like expressing themselves through dance and through their faces.
Almost haunting in this weird way, even though it's bright and colorful and fun.
Yeah, I
Maybe it's
agree.
just because there's no dialogue and it is just music, and then using these big expressions, which are typically used in ballets, and it's a very different type of performance. But I mean, just being able to watch Gene Kelly dance for 17 minutes is so enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, like it's pretty, you know, I think it definitely speaks for itself. I don't have anything like super productive to say about it just because, like, yeah, it's just distilled MGM musical direction, set pieces, dancing, music, kind of like all right there. And it's fantastic, you know, and it's just, you know, it serves as the climax of the movie, right? Because at that point, there's nothing really like it. I mean, I guess there's that one like daydream that the composer has, the piano player has, where he's like imagining like playing this. That's really great. And but other than that, everybody else is just kind of dancing in Paris normally. And then you get this really long, like kind of like fantastical ballet production at the end. And again, it rocks.
I have no complaints about the length. I mean, 17 minutes of just watching Gene Kelly and everyone
Yeah.
else just do an incredible performance, and choreography is beautiful and wonderful. And as you said, fantastical even. And then when we cut back to reality, she comes back out of the car and she runs to him, but I guess the singer doesn't care, or he just kind of like he lets her out and he like smiles and
Yeah,
waves.
no, because before that it's clear that he has overheard the conversation where they're both like, I love you, but I need to be with him and all stuff. And then they leave. And then like after the big thing, he comes back and he looks happy. I guess it's just like he's cool with it. Like he's just like, you
He's
know,
just
you
a
don't need
good
to be with me.
friend.
You shouldn't be with me out of like out of
Obligation.
but this is just an assumption. There's no like
You
conversation
have
about
no
this or whatever. We
idea.
just kind of like we figured that has to be the case, right? And then he
Guess.
comes and then she comes back, and then they get and then they're back
And they run
together
into each
and
other's arms.
And that's the end of the wow, they did it, you know, and everyone was super happy, you know. Yeah, maybe like a more dramatic movie would be like if he got upset or something like that, and he's just like, "No, you
Some
have
sort of
to be with me because
confrontation.
I don't you understand when I but he's so but the guy but that guy it does make sense with this character because like throughout the whole movie he seems like extremely nice and he's happy and smiley the whole time,
Yeah.
so it's not like out of his character or weird or
No.
anything. Again, you know, maybe it would have been more dramatic if he was an asshole. And Gene Kelly had to like fight him or whatever, but there's nothing like that in the movie.
No, that's just not the Vincent Minnelli way. I think
I
Vincent
guess not.
Minnelli has this sort of love for humanity and this genuine belief that the world and people are good at their core. And
I don't know about that. Well, you know, I don't know if they are. So I don't know if I
well,
agree with it.
you don't have to agree with Vincent Minnelli,
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah.
but he definitely has this true love for
Yeah.
people, and it's such a strange moment, but I'm completely okay with it. I mean, as you're saying, like, it's not at all outside of his character, and even those moments where he is with her, I mean, there's not really an expression of love. It's almost as if
They
he
like each
himself,
other.
they like each other, but it's almost like the relationship, which of course they're sort of mimicking that relationship between Milo and
He loves her,
Kelly.
the French singer. He loves her a lot.
He loves her, but it's not,
I
I
mean, she
guess.
doesn't love him that much.
Maybe that's what true love is being
Yeah,
willing.
that's see, that's when you know he truly loves her because he's
He
like,
lets her go.
yeah. Wow, we unlocked it. We
We've
just needed to talk about it,
got it. I love this movie so much. This movie makes me so happy. I mean, I watch movies like this and just reminds me why I love watching movies so much and just so carefree and happy and just forget about the world for a couple hours, especially after, because I watched this after school one day and it was finals week and, you know, just a really
yeah.
like awful and shitty week because, you know, kids
No,
are
I feel you.
failing and choosing not to do their finals and, you know,
Yeah.
being assholes as teenagers always will be, and to be able to come home and just sit down and watch a movie like this and just
Right.
escape from the
Yeah.
world is just why I love movies so much. And it just makes me so happy that these movies exist, honestly.
Wonderful stuff.
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
I mean, I literally just said most of the things that I want to say,
Yeah.
but wonderful performances, great choreography, love Vincent Minnelli, love the direction, such beautiful use of cinematography, the dollies, the pans, just so meticulous and grandiose, perhaps is the right word. It just makes me so happy that these kind of movies exist and just part of this world. And I don't even, it's one of those movies where I don't even really care if it's a well-made film, even though it is a very well-made film in a lot of different ways. You just forget about all that stuff and you're just in the moment and you don't care about the lighting or the cinematography or the acting or any of this. You're just in this magical MGM world. And I think that's sort of when movies are at their best, is when you're sort of just there for that moment. So I'm gonna give this movie a strong 9 out of 10.
Yeah, for me, I would give it a an 8 out of 10, just 'cause like, you know, I just have
Qualms.
my qualms about it, but like nothing really like to speak about. Like, it has nothing to do with like the quality of the movie. It's an amazingly made movie, and it's extremely fun to watch. And it has a lot of. There's definitely some interesting things going on about like misogyny and things like it, which I find very interesting. But you know, it is maybe like a little too sweet for me. But that's like a preference thing. But overall, I mean, like, you gotta watch it. Like, you know, even just for like the great like Gene Kelly performance and dancing, like, you know, when he's doing his thing, it's just you can't believe it. Just things like the sets and the use of Technicolor and everything, that will never ever be replicated ever again. So you definitely should go out of your way to seeing it.
All right, y'all. Thank you for listening. You can find everything I do at Austin Lugo.
I'm on a Letterboxd at Retro Andrew, RETR0 Andrew.
And you can find this podcast wherever you hear podcasts. You can also find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at With Nothing to Say. And thank you all for listening.
Thanks again.